When we moved into our first house, the property had a fence. It was a fairly large property, half an acre. Had a fence along the back and then on both sides all the way from the back to pretty much the street. And it was a farm fence. It was, you know, metal posts. It was something you'd find out in the country. Although we were inside town, we thought it was ugly. It was all overgrown. Stuff was grown up all inside, you know, weaved in the fence. And we saw that, and our, you know, one of our first projects that we did with the house was to start tearing out that fence. We couldn't tear out the back because that was keeping some cows in, even though we were in town. But we started tear down the fences on the sides. And I came to find out later, one of the houses, the house next to us was empty, and a woman moved into it later. It was a relative of the previous owner. She had inherited the house, and found out from her that the fence was actually built and put up because of a disagreement between the people that lived in the house we bought and the people that lived in the house next to us. And because of those disagreements, this fence was put up, you know, this natural barrier. Because sometimes it can be difficult to get along with neighbors, right? Yes. Or family, or coworkers, or you pick, you choose. Sometimes it can be difficult to get along with people. And they put the fence up, and we tore the fence down. We didn't like it. We thought it was ugly. We thought it was a barrier between neighbors. And now I'm not so sure that it was a complete barrier. To us, it was kind of a barrier, and I'm glad we tore it down because the reason it was put up was not good. It was not a good reason to put up a fence. As Christians, that's not a good reason to put up a fence. So if you have a fence that was put up for that reason, consider taking it down. But I'm not so sure that all fences need to come down just because of disagreements between people. How many of you used to watch the show, or maybe you watch reruns of Home Improvement? We used to love that show. And on Home Improvement, Tim Taylor was the name of the character. And although they painted him with some kind of negative, you know, bumbling fool father kind of imagery, they didn't leave it at that. You know, they had fun with that, but they didn't leave it at that. And one of the things I really liked about that show is that they didn't leave him the bumbling fool, but they provided an opportunity almost in every show for him to grow and for the family to become closer as a result of his growth. And that opportunity in almost every show, and I couldn't get one to bring here, but if you remember the neighbor Wilson, he would stand behind the fence, and you could never see his mouth, and you only saw his eyes, and he wore the hat, and you remember Wilson. And Wilson often, and Tim Taylor, the father, had these conversations across the fence. They were good neighbors, and they were actually cared about each other. And the friend Wilson would provide, or the neighbor Wilson would provide advice for Tim Taylor. And this advice was often presented in humorous ways, and they had fun with it. But overall, Wilson provided insight for Tim to grow, to mature, and to provide resolution for their family. And that's how the show was structured. There would be some kind of problem, and then resolution was often found over the fence with Wilson. And I really, really enjoyed that show. And one of the things about it is that, you know, it doesn't matter what else is going on in the world. We have problems. Our neighbors have problems. People have problems that they need resolution for. And it doesn't matter what the barriers are there between us. We can be the neighbor, Wilson, to the people that are having the problems. Maybe you yourself have been through there. Maybe you currently are having those problems and you've had other people be Wilson to you. You've had other people be the neighbor to give you what you needed to help you to grow. to help you to find what you needed to bring healing. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Don't skip over that. I want you to hear what Jesus is doing. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Now, I should point out, Jesus didn't go to every town and every village everywhere, just in the area he was ministering in Galilee. And he didn't heal every disease and every sickness. We have examples of Jesus saying, I can't provide any healing here because the people don't have faith. But generally, this is what Jesus was doing. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. That's mentioned a few times throughout the Gospels. Jesus looking at a person and having compassion on them. Jesus looking at someone who's hurting and having compassion on them. Jesus looking at crowds and having compassion on them. Remember the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus did that miracle, and he provided that food because he had compassion on the people who were hungry and who were needing his teaching. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. How many of you have heard that before? That verse, that line? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. There's a number of things about this passage and about that phrase. Luke actually records it in a different time. Jesus probably mentioned this numerous times to his disciples as he taught them. But the first thing I want to point out is that in Matthew, the preface to Jesus saying that is that the people are are like sheep without a shepherd. The people are helpless. The people are harassed. Jesus is going around and having compassion on them because they're hurting. They're diseased and ill physically. They're not living right. They're diseased and ill emotionally and spiritually and relationally. Their relationships are in shambles with their families and their neighbors and They're spiritually in shambles because of the sin that's in their lives. The people are just, they're in bad shape. If you are honest with yourself and you just go around this community and just open your eyes and look around, what you will see are people who are in bad shape. People who are hurting. People who are spiritually diseased, physically diseased, emotionally diseased, relationally diseased. It's not just Richmond. I mean, you can go anywhere and find this. Even those communities where people seem to have everything together, or maybe you know some people, some neighbors or some friends, or look around the room and you look at a family and you look at them and say, you know what, that family looks like they have it together. Well, as you get to know them, you know that's not true, right? Well, you know, if we're honest with each other, we know as we get to know someone that nobody has it all together. And your neighbors who you may not know much about, or your coworkers you may not know much about, but you're pretty sure they don't know Jesus, but you look at their lives things seem to be going okay for them, and you're just not sure that if you started telling them about Jesus that they'd really want to hear that. Guess what? If you start loving them and listening to them and getting to know them, you're going to find something really major going on in their lives that they're really struggling with. They're hurting. They're helpless and they're harassed. Maybe not by the government, maybe not by people who are wealthier than them, although for people in this community, they may feel that way. Those who are poor may feel, even if they are not, they may feel harassed and helpless because of what they don't think they have. Or because of what they don't have. But even if someone doesn't feel harassed or helpless because of other people about money, they may be harassed and helpless because of what's happened in their family, what they grew up with. It never ceases to amaze me the number of people, statistically, who are physically and sexually abused as children. Does not cease to astound me and make me sick. Sick because it's someone who is helpless, who is being hurt. And not just today, but these things go back years and years. This is not a new problem that we face today. This is an old problem. It's just that wasn't talked about and it wasn't corrected. What hurts me even more than seeing that is hearing stories about churches who allowed men to abuse their families, men in leadership, and they ignored it. 30 years ago, 60 years ago. And so now those children are adults or grown and their parents are dead, but they've never healed from that. They've never found health from that. And we have a world, we have a community who has been exposed to church or been exposed to a God who allows that kind of thing to happen. And God does allow that kind of thing to happen, but He does not want that to happen. What He wants is healing. What He wants is people to find hope and life in Jesus Christ. And so we have a community of people who have been hurt by those who had power or who had authority. Many of you may have been hurt by those who had power and authority. And if you are being hurt by someone in power or authority, tell someone. Tell someone. Because that's not what God wants. What God wants is healing. And Jesus looked out at the crowds and He had compassion on them. And so He says to His disciples, He doesn't say to the crowds, He says to His disciples, the ones that, by the way, we haven't read this yet, but He's about to send out into those communities, into those towns. He's about to send them out. And He says to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. And then Jesus sends out the disciples. In Matthew, He sends out the 12, and then later He sends out a larger group of 70 or 72. In Luke, Jesus says this. He says this line, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. And then in Luke, He says that Jesus sends out the 70. Or 72. So Jesus is commissioning them to go out and to do this work, to preach the good news. And if you read the text, Jesus says, preach the good news of the kingdom. And He gives them other advice and other instructions. He tells them to heal people. He tells them to bring healing into their lives spiritually, exorcisms. And Jesus tells them to go out and do this. But before He does that, He says to pray, to ask God to send out workers. In other words, the disciples weren't enough. The 12 that He sent out the first time, they're not enough. And then He sends out 70 or 72, and guess what? They're not enough. And then He commissions the church. You guys know this verse. You should have it memorized. Go therefore, Matthew 28:18-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. You know that? Anybody know that? Anybody? Yes? You know that verse? Jesus commissions His disciples, more than 12, more than 70. He commissions hundreds of disciples, and the church begins with a bang. Pentecost. And they're going out and people are being saved by the thousands. I mean, 5,000 on that first day, 5,000 men on that first day, or 3,000, I forget. And then another time, another groups of thousands more being saved. And they're being commissioned. And as everybody comes to know Jesus, the commission is, hey, you have this hope now, you have this life now, now you share that with someone else. And we have the commission, and we still need to be praying, though, for more workers for the harvest, because the harvest is plentiful. But what we do is, what 2,000 years later, we look at the community around us, and we look at the hurt people are in, and we look at the problems people have, and we look at our own problems, and we look at our own abilities, and we say, well, we can't possibly go save all these people. We can't do all of that. Even if we don't say it publicly, even if we don't acknowledge it, what we think is we don't have the ability to go do that. And you know what? You're right. You don't have the ability to do that. But the good news is it's God's harvest field. He's the one cultivating. He's the one preparing. He just says to go and do. He's the one that does the work. We don't have to worry about making people accept Jesus. It would be so much easier, wouldn't it? If we could just go out and make people accept Jesus. But do you know what we would be then? Do you know what God would be then if He were operated that way? He would be the power, the authority that abused the helpless. You see, it's that kind of thinking, that kind of acting that creates the problems that people have. Those in power and authority forcing others to do or to live a certain way. To abusing others. And so the way God operates is through grace, through forgiveness, through healing. He, not us. We don't have to go out into our community and heal people. We go out into the community and we pray and we tell them about Jesus. We tell them about the hope that is found in Jesus so that God can heal them. So that they can find faith in God and He heals them. And we don't have to save people. We go out and we teach people and we talk to them. And God, He's the one that saves them. The sermon title is Good News for Your Fence. And this is good news for your fence. This is good news for your fence because we can be Wilsons to the people in our lives. I'm speaking, obviously, metaphorically. Not all of you have fences. Not all of you have fences where you can stand and talk to your neighbors across the fence. Although, some of you may do that. And you may stand there for 30 minutes talking to your neighbor across the fence. But the good news is that we don't have to go out and we don't have to do this a certain way. What do I mean by that? Well, when Jesus sends out the 12, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field. And he calls the 12 disciples to him, and this is Matthew chapter 10 now. And verse 5, he says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter into any town of the Samaritans. Okay, we pray to God that He will provide workers for the harvest because the harvest is plentiful, but we don't have to witness to any Gentiles. Right? No. But the disciples, they didn't have to witness to the Gentiles. They didn't have to go around and go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. They were starting in the Jewish towns. But I don't know how many of you know of any Jewish towns around here. Anybody? This instruction is specifically to the 12 at this point in time to go to the towns of the Jews and to preach the good news to them. Verse 7, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. So at this point in time, Jesus is giving specific instructions to the 12 on how to go out. And what they would do is they would heal and they would preach the kingdom of heaven is near. And then Jesus sends out the 70 later and he gives them specific instructions. And he tells them to prepare, to preach the same kinds of things, to do the same kinds of things. And Luke tells us that Jesus sent them, the 70, to all the towns that he was going to visit. So in other words, these disciples of Jesus that he was sending out, they were given specific instructions at this time to prepare for the work of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, in the lives of those people in those communities. Sounds an awful lot like what God is commissioning us to do today. Only the specific instructions that he gives is go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He doesn't say, okay, skip the Jews. He doesn't say, skip those who are Muslims. He doesn't say, well, when you go out, you have to stand on the street corner and pull out your bullhorn and read scripture verses to people walking by. You can do that. I've known people who were saved that way. He doesn't say, give specific instructions on exactly how you have to do it. You could stand on the other side of the fence where your neighbor can't even see your face, like Wilson, and you could share Jesus with them. You could share his love and how the difference he's made in your life with them. And that's how you do it. You can do it by listening to someone. Now, I don't know if you've... I mean, that's kind of seems antithetical to telling someone about Jesus. Doesn't it? To listen? How many of you consider yourselves... And be honest and don't be all like fake humble. How many of you think you're a good listener? Be honest, raise your hand. Many of you are. Many of you are good listeners. How many of you are good talkers? Okay. How many of you are good talkers? Come on. More of you than that. Okay. You can be a good talker. And you know what? That's how you share, because you're just naturally, you can strike up a conversation. And some of you are introverts. How many of you are introverts? Everybody that's not raising their hand right now is an introvert. Okay? For those of you who are introverts, you know, we may not be able to strike up a conversation with someone just off the bat. It's forced, it's difficult, it's hard on us, it's hard on them, it's awkward, and you just don't end up doing it because of those things. Right? Honest, you've been through that. I know, I'm an introvert. But we don't have to do it that way. You don't have to strike up conversations with strangers, because you know tons of people. And I know that you know people who are hurting, and you look in their lives and you hurt and you have compassion on them because you see that what's going on in their lives, and you want healing in their lives. You want Jesus. You want them to come to know Jesus. So I'm going to help provide for all of us, myself included, some structure. Not specific instructions, okay, this is the way you have to do it. But some structure to help us do two things. Pray for more workers. I'm not using this verse to say, okay, we need more people at the food pantry, although that's nice. We had tons of help at the food pantry, and it was fantastic. Absolutely wonderful. And I'm not using it to say, we need more people to come and help out and do stuff at the church. This verse has been used to say those things by people, and I may have used it to say those things too. That's taking it out of context. No, more workers for the harvest. God is preparing people's hearts as we speak. I heard a story from Matt Reese. They had their kickoff Sunday at the G3 Church last Sunday. Their kickoff Sunday was last Sunday. And they had a young lady come there, and they had people out to direct people and help them find where they need to go. They had someone out in to park cars, and she's looking at the sign, and it says G3, and the person helping says, "Are you here for church?" And she says, "Well, yes, but I think I'm at the wrong one." Turns out she was invited by a friend to go to what's called the Well. It's another church meeting at the other junior high school in town. So she ends up at the wrong junior high on the kickoffs off Sunday for G3 Church. She was invited to that church by a friend who said they were going to pick her up, and that friend never showed up. And so she decided she was just going to go anyways. And she thought she could go out and find it. So she drove around and she saw the sign, it's kickoff Sunday for G3, and she goes up and she's at the wrong place, but she decides to go in anyways. And she listens and she's really getting something out of it, and she says to Matt, "I'm coming back next week." But she was there because she was feeling like the people that Jesus was looking at. And she was feeling like the people when we look around and we see that they're helpless or that they are harassed. And she was there because she needs Jesus, and she recognized that. Do you see, God is preparing, God's doing the work. He's preparing their hearts. He's preparing the wills and the hearts and the minds of people. So we're going to pray specifically for workers for the harvest. And that may mean us. You know, that may mean, you know, I'm not focusing on listening to people. I'm not focusing on being Wilson to my neighbor or to my family member or to my friend. And some of you are, and I'm hearing stories, and I think it's fantastic, and God is using you in the lives of your friends, your family, your neighbors. Keep doing that and help the rest of us do it. We're going to pray for workers, maybe not just us, but for other people as well. And maybe our prayers are that, you know, we're praying for G3, because guess what? They've got the same mission that we do. They've got the same commission that we do. They've got the same commands from Jesus to go and make disciples. And they're going to be reaching people that we're not reaching, because God has been preparing people's hearts that they're going to be able to connect with. And so we're praying for other churches and praying for workers for the harvest for our community. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to be Wilson to somebody. We're going to be the neighbor to somebody. I want you to think of one person, and you have space on the back of your bulletins, and I'm going to ask you to use that space on the back of your bulletins. And for some of you, I can think of a name for you, okay? But I want you to think of a person that you know. It could be a family member, it could be a friend, it could be a neighbor. It could be somebody that you've been praying for a long time. It could be somebody that God just pops into your head and you hadn't thought about them before, but now that you think about it, everything on the outside looks good, and maybe you should listen to what's going on in their lives, because stuff on the inside may not be going so well. Think of one person that you can be praying about, that you can be a Wilson to, that you can be a neighbor to. One person. And like I said, for some of you, I can think of who that is, because I know that you've been praying about and thinking about, and that person is already on your heart. And what we're going to do is you're going to write that name on there, and we're going to pray for that person, just one person, each of us. We're going to pray for that person every day, and we're going to pray for ourselves that God would help us to be Wilson to them, help us to be the neighbor to them, help us to listen, help us to say what they need to hear, so that they can find life and healing in Jesus. And we're going to do this for a goal of November 4th. November 4th is Time Change Sunday this year. And it's the good one. It's the one where you get to push the clock back an hour, and you get to sleep, you know, an extra hour, or stay up an extra hour late, or I don't know, whatever you decide to do. And we're gonna designate that Sunday, Bring a Friend Sunday. Bring a family member. Bring that person Sunday. We're just gonna set it as a target. And between now and then, we're gonna continue to pray for the person that you wrote down. And if you want to share that person's name, then I encourage you to share that person's name so that someone else can be praying for you and for them. If you don't want to do it in front of everybody, that's okay. If you want to do it in front of a couple people, or if you want to come tonight to the Pippin's house during prayer time to share that name and to pray for those people and for us, then you can do it that way. What are we going to do? We're going to pray. We're going to pray for workers for the harvest, including ourselves. And we're going to be Wilson. We're going to be a neighbor. And you know what? I know that every single one of you can do these things. Because I've seen you do it. And I think that's good news. It's good news for us. It's good news for our community. It's good news because we can share the good news about Jesus.